Well, it's time for me to see who's been a good boy or a naughty boy this year. There are two young boys on my list, Jethro Nolan and Matt Hartman, hosts of the Drunkard's Walk podcast. I see Jethro's been a very good boy. Oh, but Matt, sadly, he's forced too many arbitrary Star Trek connections throughout the podcast, so this year he'll be getting a lump of coal.
Santa, wait. This just came in. There's a correction to your list.
Oh, is there? Let me read it. It says Jethro's been extra good and Matt's been extra bad. He gets two lumps of coal.
Wait, Santa, there's another correction. One that makes us sound, that makes them sound more like they're equals.
You know, I'm starting to wonder about the hierarchy here in the North Pole. You seem to have a lot of corrections. Why don't you just get it right the first time? Maybe Elon Musk needs to buy our operation and get shit sorted out.
Is that some sort of threat?
It could be. It's not actually Santa. It's me, Jethro Nolan. That's right. It was all a ruse.
Oh, nice job.
Well, thank you.
I really bought it.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, the years of dramatic training have paid off.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, it's the holiday season. So it is nice that you did a nice little Santa impression. That was, and I should tell everybody, I should fess up. That was me as the elf, everybody. It's me,
what?
Matt Hartman. That's right.
Oh, look at that. Well, so, welcome. Happy Christmas to you, or happy solstice, whatever mid to late December holiday you celebrate.
Yes, and to you as well, and to all of you that are listening out there, hopefully you're having a jolly time, however it may be. And I don't know if it's cold where you are, if it's snowing, if it's if it's making you feel all festive and warm, but hopefully we can give you that nice warm feeling in your heart, if not that queasy feeling in your stomach, because we are going to be taking you on a walk today, a walk through Wikipedia. Yes, just like the days of yore.
That's right. Yeah. Just like our pioneer forefathers used to go through Wikipedia when they were trying to kill time on the Oregon Trail. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll be visited by three spirits who take us to walks of Wikipedia past and walks of Wikipedia present, and perhaps walks of Wikipedia future.
Yeah, that would really be something because, you know, Jethro, like always on this podcast, we have a starting point.
It's true.
But we don't have any sort of like destination to go to, and we have to somehow get a random destination that we didn't plan. And gosh, if there were three spirits that arrived, they could maybe give us a destination of some kind, right? Wouldn't you think so?
I mean, what are the odds of that happening though?
I don't know. How does one invoke three spirits?
I don't know, Matt. Maybe we should ask the three people who are on the Zoom call with us.
Oh, great idea. Yeah, look, it's the hosts of the Quantum Leap podcast. Hi,
hey,
hosts.
Hey.
Hi. Hello.
See, it was easier than you thought. You just had to say hi.
That's all I had to do. I'm going to have you all introduce yourselves and say hello to the Drunkard's Walk audience out here.
Well, I'm Allison Pregler, the ghost of Christmas past.
I'm Christopher DeFilippis. I guess I am the ghost of Christmas present.
Ooh. Well, that would make me Matt Dale, the ghost of Christmas future. From the UK, where it's dark and grim.
Always at all times. Well, thank you, all three of you, for joining us on the Drunkard's Walk today. I mentioned that you're the host of the Quantum Leap podcast. Tell us a little bit about how did the Quantum Leap podcast even start? Where did this come from? Where did this idea come from?
Ooh, Cliff's Note version, I guess, because it's kind of
whatever. If you want to get into a novel, let's do it.
Yeah. Now, there was a Quantum Leap podcast that began about 10 years ago, and it was spearheaded by our founder, Albert Burge, and he did it for quite a long time. And then the podcast kind of lagged a little bit, and he and I had become friends. I was contributing to the podcast. At that point, Allison had contributed behind the scenes to some of the things on the podcast. And when he could just no longer do it, he asked me if I wanted to give it a shot. And I said, yeah, but let's do a test run first. And that's how I got in touch with Allison, because I don't know if you know this, Allison made the most significant quantum leap discovery of the last 30 years.
Oh, I do know that. That was so exciting. And Allison, I'm going to break into your story, Chris, because Allison, you have to talk about, you have to tell the people. And I understand that most of the people listening to this podcast won't be as excited as I was about this information. And also as excited as I was when I realized, listening to this podcast, who you were. And I was like, she's the one that found. So tell them what you found and how that came about.
Oh, I'm such a big deal is the thing. If you don't know,
you are in my world.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, here's the short version. There was an ending that they filmed for Quantum Leap that they ended up nixing. And for a long time, it was just a rumor. In fact, Donald Belisario even said it didn't happen for whatever reason. But there was a script with it that involved Al and his wife, Beth. And I became a huge fan of Quantum Leap. And one of the things I like to do is buy negatives that they usually shoot while they're doing rehearsals or while they're filming episodes. Sometimes you get deleted scenes, stuff like that. So I bought a bunch of these negatives just to see that kind of stuff. And I found in there photos from that ending and proved that it existed. So amazing. I guess after 30 years proved that the lost ending of Quantum Leap really happened.
Yeah.
And eventually the video came out too. You can see that on YouTube. That got leaked on Reddit by someone. So
it was pretty cool. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And blew my mind too, because I'm a big fan of the show, and the ending is something that I had some problems with. And so hearing that there was a possible other ending was just like, whoa, that's so amazing. So
thank you
for finding that. That was really cool.
You're welcome. It was awesome.
Why is everyone so obsessed with the ending? Allison should be known for the dryer lint portrait. That's Allison's real story.
The what?
Oh, you don't know the Dean Stockwell dryer lint portrait saga?
I don't. Oh my gosh, there's another story?
This is my tell us every more. Christmas, I love to get snuggled up and listen to Allison tell us the tale. This is my favorite story.
It was another eBay purchase. Someone was selling a dryer lint portrait. It's a portrait made up of dryer lint by a very famous artist named Slater Baron. You can find her stuff in like Ripley's Believe It or Not museums. Like she would take dryer lints of different colors and then make portraits of people, like realistic portraits. And she did one of Dean Stockwell, and it's a picture from Quantum Leap as well that she used. And so I bought this off of eBay for like $300.
Whoa, and
then, and then I paid someone to get it there and then ship it to me because it was in person only. So I was like, I need this. and then I went on a journey trying to figure out the origins of this, because it said that it was made for a pilot, but I couldn't figure out what pilot it was. Like, I emailed the artist and she didn't know either. She was like, this was 25 years ago. I don't know what I made it for. And I ended up finding in a Quantum Leap fanzine, they listed that he was in a pilot that they didn't end up picking up for Ripley's Believe It or Not. And a lot of her stuff is in Ripley's Believe It or Not. So I tweeted at the Ripley's Twitter and I was like, hey, did you guys make a pilot with Dean Stockwell and commission this for it? And they're like, oh, yeah, we did. Yay!
That is nuts. And do you still have it?
Oh, yeah.
Does it like hang on your wall, like in a place of reverence?
I'll grab it.
I mean, definitely do. Patreon subscribers, you'll be able to see this.
That's right.
Probably not. But you should join our Patreon anyway and find out if you're going to get to see a picture of this amazing portrait.
There are pictures available online, so we will certainly send it out on the Instagram.
Oh, well, there you go. I can put it on Instagram.
Because it is an amazing piece of art. And while Allison gets the portrait.
Continue your story, Chris, please. I'm sorry to cut you
so,
off.
So, just to finish the thought. I had some trepidation about doing the podcast because I didn't know who I was going to do it with. But when Allison made that discovery, it gave us a perfect entry point to maybe work together. Oh, wait, I got to stop because it's there. You guys can't see it at home. But wow.
You can't see it at home, but it is amazing. Holy cow. Wow, I didn't picture it being nearly as good as that, honestly. Like, I don't know why I didn't picture it being as good as that. You said this was a famous artist, but that is amazing. That is an amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, she was super talented. She's passed away since then, but her daughter, I did videos about this. You can find them on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/movie nights, the series.
There you go. Yes, please plug away. Please plug away.
Yeah, I did videos about this where I have the portrait and talk about it. But her daughter contacted me because she saw the videos and she was thanking me for like talking about her mom's work and told me about her mom's last showing. And yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love it.
I feel incredibly guilty because I just throw my dryer lint away.
Yeah, right. It's basically
when
all the
you
same
get on
color,
Slater
too.
Baron's level, you know.
There you go.
I'm amazed at that portrait because all my dryer lint is just gray and purple.
Right, exactly.
Like,
me too.
Oh, she would get like donations and stuff because there was some PBS documentary about it. I know this is going off on a side thing, but yeah, just the amount of work that she put into it was just amazing.
I mean, this is a drunkard's walk. Intro to Drunkard's Walk, right? We are tangenting and all over the place. I love it.
I think we were talking about how the Quantum Leap podcast started. And I do want to say like Matt got involved with it because Matt wrote the definitive book about Quantum Leap. Like if you want to know anything about Quantum Leap, it's so much detail that Deborah Pratt uses it as a reference for the new show. So, and he ended up involved because of that. So if you want like some deep Quantum Leap knowledge, like he's the guy.
That is awesome. And I just recently learned about that book, Matt, and I need to get a copy. In fact, I've heard that there's a second edition. Is that right?
Yeah. So the second edition is coming out in the new year. Okay. I just finished a Kickstarter campaign for it, but I'm still taking pre-orders. So tmebooks.uk. Look, I've already gone into the plug. I'm like 10 words in and I'm already plugging. But
what's the name of the book?
Thank you, Alison. You're very helpful. It's called Beyond the Mirror Image, The Observer's Guide to Quantum Leap. And awesome. It was just the result of me starting writing in 2015 and not stopping and not knowing when to stop. And it just kept going and going. And yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, I definitely want to get a copy of that. I know one of my favorite books of all time, not really to Quantum Leap, but related to time travel, is that they printed a Back to the Future book that is like a large, like even bigger than 8.5 by 11, very thin though, but it has like all the detail and the timelines and the like this and that. And as a kid, that was like my favorite thing ever. And so you're like, what I've heard about your, and I'm sure your book is much more involved and much more detailed, which I love. But it sounds like the same type of thing for Quantum Leap, which is obviously much more robust than Back to the Future as well.
Is that the book by Rich Handley?
Is it the book by... See, now I'm going to walk away from the mic. Hold on.
I can't remember what it's called.
It's so nice when nerds can get together and nerd out over something.
Oh, okay. Not that one.
It is by Michael Klastorin and Sally Hibben.
Different book, but yes, I love that book.
So that's why, like, as soon as I heard about yours, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like the same, I don't know, genre is the right word. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's, and I also used to read through the Star Trek Compendium as a kid. So, you know what I mean? Like, this is the type of thing that I enjoy.
Goes insanely, unnecessarily in depth.
Awesome. I love it. That's perfect. But we have to get back. Chris, you had some trepidation.
I had some trepidation.
This discovery
led me to say, well, if we're going to do something, let's do proof of concept. Let's do a special where Allison and I discuss her discovery of the lost ending and the negatives and everything. Mm-hmm. And not only that, let's get Susan Diehl on the phone to talk about it, who played Beth.
Yes.
But that's I felt like awesome we needed too. One more element. And about a year beforehand, I had interviewed Matt for the first edition of Beyond the Mirror Image for the Quantum Leap podcast. It was one of the first one of the few things I did before I became the host. Mm-hmm. So I said it would be perfect if we could get all three of us because we have Allison, who's got all of the comedy and the talents. We have Matt, who's got all the authority and the knowledge. And we have me, who just happened to write a tie-in book 100 years ago that was set in the Quantum Leap universe. So, and when we got on mic, we did our first show, and I knew instantly. Yeah. I basically knew before we even got on mic when I spoke to Allison that we would get along. And then when the three of us came together, it was just like, no, this is it, you know, and that's hard to come by. So we just decided, let's do the show. Everybody seemed to like it, and everybody seemed to like talking on mic with each other. And we've never looked back. I think it's going to be, 5 years. Our first show debuted on April 1st. I believe 2018.
Okay.
That was where we were the hosts, and that was that special.
Yeah.
So April Fool's is our anniversary.
Chris makes it sound so concrete and clear. I'm still feeling like Will Wheaton on the set of Star Trek The Next Generation as this like big fan of podcasts gone by, and someone's accidentally let me onto the set and no one's discovered yet that I can't actually act.
No, you're great, man.
Thank you.
I agree. Yeah. I agree that you're great. I think all three of you are great. I really enjoy listening to the podcast. I will say that like there are like some of your episodes go pretty long. Now, a lot of that is an interview portion that you have. I say a lot. I've listened to only the episodes about the new show, so I shouldn't say a lot because that's a small percentage of what you've done.
Well, one of the reasons that we wanted to continue this podcast rather than start a new one is because when Albie started this, it's really an archive of information about Quantum Leap because of all of the interviews, talking to people just involved in any sort of capacity on the show. Like there's actors, there's crew members, the people who do the coloring on it, you know, just any sort of stuff like that. And when I started listening to it before I was ever part of it, I just loved that it had so much information and you were learning new things about the show that went off the air 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it was really a shame when the episodes weren't being made, because Albie had some personal stuff going on, like we're like, how do we continue this and kind of finish what was started here? And it's been great working with him. Like he still does a ton of stuff. He does his own after show as well. Yeah. So he's not uninvolved or anything at all. Like, but it's just great to have been able to continue that. And then now that there's the new show, being able to talk about what's going on there. And it's just been like this crazy journey.
Quantum Leap. And just to finish my thought so that it doesn't sound like I'm saying you guys go on too long, what I was going to say was, even though the episodes are longer, they are incredibly engaging. And so I am listening the whole time and enjoying everything that I'm hearing. So that's the point of what I was trying to say. But I really enjoy it. And I have to bring up one thing about the new Quantum Leap show. I have a ton of things that I want to say, and if you ever find my TikTok, you'll hear them. But here's my one thing that I want to bring up, and I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. The character of Addison, was that her name from the very beginning of the writing? Do you know? Is that the character's name?
That was at least as far back as the casting call. It was Addison.
Okay.
Yeah. They leaked the casting calls before there were, I don't know, was the script before that or after? It was after, right? Right, because we thought the casting call was, we thought it was fake at first. So
we really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because, there was an episode I was crapping all over it, and Matt's like, no, it's actually real. And we had to cut that whole part.
We thought it was fake because some of it sounded fake.
Because I was wondering if initially somebody said, let's make the observer's name Allison.
Yeah, it's Al again.
Right? If there was going to be something there, and then somebody was like, we can't do, no, we're not going to do that. Just change it to Addison. That's easy enough. That's an easy enough change. That was for whatever reason, that was the thing that I thought of. And I was like, I wonder if they ever, and so I thought, if there's anybody that's going to know about this, it's our subject matter experts. So I had to ask you while you were on the show. So thanks for indulging.
You realize that you've set Matt down a rabbit hole where he's going to have to research that and talk to somebody and figure out if that is indeed the case.
Awesome.
What if they were thinking that and then they remembered the Quantum Leap podcast and they're like, she's going to be insufferable if we name her Allison. She's going to think it's about her. Absolutely not.
That's also a possibility that you never know.
Hey,
you never
know. The first Leapy was called Matt. I'm reasonably sure that was a reference to me.
Oh, yeah.
Or you,
I would assume. Well, I'm not quite as well known in Quantum Leap circles as you are, but maybe. Yeah, it could be me. Let's pretend.
You've been talking about it on TikTok. That's enough.
That's but I only started talking about it after they made it. So it's not, you know, I didn't talk about the old show. I mean, I loved the old show, but I didn't talk about it on TikTok. I had thoughts. I had feelings about the new show. They weren't always the best feelings.
I mean, I think you're overlooking the distinct possibility that the actual writers of the Quantum Leap series are in fact Leapies themselves.
Oh.
And the showrunners are coming back from like the year 2145 or something to produce the 1989. Oh,
so that's
hits.
Why they would know about what I did.
So exactly.
I got you. I got you.
They
that
are,
makes sense.
In fact, the nuts and bolts still, it's a possibility, I guess.
There's a good chance
and your podcast is still going.
Yeah, well, I would assume so. I mean, I have to assume that somebody picked up the mantle and kept running with it. Did you guys see the Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was the greatest thing. That was
Scott is amazing in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That it is a lot of fun. And Chris, if you've never seen it, I do recommend it. But
yeah, I've been trying to find it, but it's all on Hulu. And it's the one streaming service I don't have. I'm a huge Sonny fan. Well, and it's just by chance that I haven't seen it.
So. It was amazing. It was really
bad. I'm a bad fan.
No, you'll be all right. I think people are gonna give you a pass based off of everything else that you do, which is amazing. And then wait, so Chris, you wrote one of the tie-in novels?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
It's called Foreknowledge. Way back in the 90s, there was a series of Quantum Leap tie-in books. For any tie-in readers out there, like the Star Trek books were the template for it.
Okay.
So they wanted to have original Quantum Leap adventures set in the Quantum Leap universe, but they were one-offs. And of course, they're not canon because they never appeared on screen. And as a young man, I was the hugest Quantum Leap fan. And I was an obnoxious 20-something-year-old who thought I knew everything about Quantum Leap. And who could write a book better than mine? So I had this false confidence. And I submitted a story that was immediately just completely, you know, Ginger, who does the series, she rejected it outright. But she said, give me some other ideas. And I did. I gave her a host of other ideas, and we eventually landed on one that she liked.
Nice.
And that was that. And I have nothing but admiration and thanks for the Quantum Leap fan community who facilitated that face-to-face meeting, because I met Ginger at a Quantum Leap convention in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of central to where I am. And I don't know if I hadn't had that FaceTime with her because of that con, I don't know if I would have ever sold that book. But
gotcha.
She asked me, I got to know her, and the rest is history.
Awesome. I love these stories. These are these are so great. And you are you said you're near New Jersey. You're in
on Long Island. I'm in New York. I'm on Long Island.
Long Island. And Matt, you are in the UK.
Right? Yep, I'm in the UK, just south of London.
Okay. And Allison, where are you based out of generally?
Illinois.
You don't, okay. Oh, all right. So you're very spread out. It's so awesome that you're able to do this. Jethro and I are both from Pittsburgh, but he just recently left Pittsburgh. Jethro, tell him where you moved to.
I moved to a place that's not Pittsburgh.
But be more specific.
Well done,
Jethro.
You know, Matt, I believe, you know, you know as much as you need to about my current location. I will say this is the Christmas episode. I will say
that it's
cold.
Oh, well, we've eliminated half the globe. Thanks. I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
I'm in the Northern Hemisphere.
Jethro moved and he won't tell me where he moved to. So I've been trying to figure it out all season. I've got a tack board with red strings going from, you know, I know that you can buy alcohol there and that they have schools with children in them. So I am narrowing it down. I just haven't gotten there yet.
That's right. We have the initials NP. For the North Pole.
I don't know.
It's awfully cold. What a great guess. Is that it, Jethro? Maybe that's
why my Santa Claus impersonation is so spot on with the accent.
Was that actually him in the studio with you? Is that how you did that?
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
Actually, he's union, so he won't work.
Oh yeah, he wouldn't. No, it wouldn't be allowed.
Cool. So
yeah.
Wonderful detail. Like one of the things this conversation is just highlighting to me is like that the like curiosity is just a never ending journey. And it's so fun and exciting to see people who are so curious and enthusiastic about literally anything. And like the love that you guys have for Quantum Leap. And let me ask you this. So if you compare the current incarnation of Quantum Leap versus the classic incarnation of Quantum Leap, do you have a preference? Is it a strong preference, one over the other? Where are you at on that?
Like all the incarnations of Star Trek, they are very different and complementary shows and both good in their own way. Did that sound well rehearsed?
Wow.
That's
towing the company line.
Are you running for office? that's beautifully put, but what is your personal preference?
Well, the new show, I think it's important to point out while we're recording this, it's only 8 episodes in. Mm-hmm. So it really has to have time to grow into what it's going to be. And mm-hmm. it's going to have an 18 episode first season. We know they're going to have at least that much. So, I mean, it's a very different kind of show. So you can't really say like one preference or the other when really like there's not really enough to go off of. But it's got its ups and downs, but it is in general, like it does have a lot of great stuff in it. And it's a continuation of the old show. It's not a reboot of it. So if people are curious where the story goes next, that's what they're tackling in the 2022 series.
Okay. And you make a good point. We're eight episodes into the original series, there had been ups and downs. We'd had How the Test Was Won by
that. Yeah, I was going to say, we had How the Test Was Won. There were stinkaroos in there.
And I'm going to give the real answer, Jethro. Of course, we all love and adore and are diehard fans of the original series. That being said, we have the benefit of 30 years of that love and being able to take that entire series as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we're in a weird position as podcasters because we're used to talking about a series in its entirety that's 30 years old. Mm-hmm. We are now following this new one as it evolves, and there are going to be growing pains. So we're not liking everything we see, but we love a lot of what we see, and we just don't have the perspective that we need. So the answer to your question is, of course, at this point, we love the old show. It's our bag. We podcast for hours a week on the old show. Of course we do, for no money. I mean...
Don't worry. When you said podcast, it was assumed that there was no money in there.
Just in case I needed to reiterate to just hammer that home. But I would have to say for all of us, the old show is the reason we're sitting here talking to you now. So there's just no overstating that.
Yeah.
Good deal. Yeah.
That's good deal. That's totally fair. I am continuing to watch the new show. I like things about the new show. I want the new show to be great. But I definitely, when I watched the first couple episodes myself, and I understand, I know that I am nowhere near the expert that you all are. But when I watched the first few episodes, I was like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I can watch this. I don't know if I... And then when I kind of made that click in my head of like, it's a different show. Just let enjoy the old show and love the old show. And now... judge this on its own and enjoy what it has or don't, right? Either way. So I think there are things that I like about it, and there are things, there are problems. I think that there are problems, but we can all talk about that later. We don't have to get into that all right now, because actually what we need to get into right now is if you all have a destination for us to wander off to through Wikipedia. For those that forgot, this is the Drunkard's Walk podcast. So we're going to be walking through Wikipedia, and we brought you all on to get a destination to head off to. So do you have a destination in mind, or maybe you've got a couple, or what do you think?
We're still hashing it out.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a destination in mind until you told us what our starting point would be.
Oh, I see. I see.
We had a very music related destination. We thought we were very clever. But then you came at us with a music starting point.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. And not to say that you have to go back to your original choice or not, but last week we started at Weird Al Yankovic and we went to Subwoofer, and it was our longest journey of the season.
Wow.
More than 11 pages. I listened.
It was that was a previous season. This season,
yes, you're right. Yes,
it was our longest this season. So it was 8, which
we're,
is
yeah,
which,
we're not very bright.
Yeah. we're not super bright. But it just turns out that like what is weird about what we have discovered in our walks, and those who listen regularly will notice this. Things that seem like they are very far apart wind up not being as far as you think. And things that seem like they are very similar can oftentimes be, through Wikipedia, a little bit tougher to get to. So anyway, I'm not telling you to go back to your original topic. You can give us whatever you like, but just know that that is what happened last week. And I know you haven't heard that yet because we recorded in advance, and so you wouldn't have had a chance to hear that. But that is what happened to us previously.
So would you like the original topic just for a starting point?
It is. Oh, well, if you want to tell us what it was.
Yeah, we'll tell you what our thought process
decide.
Was.
Sure, yeah, by all means.
So I had the brilliant idea that since the new Leaper, the new Leaper's name is Ben Song, mm-hmm. I thought maybe we should do Ben Song or Samuel Beckett, because those are the two Leapers. Samuel Beckett, as you know, is also the name of a famous playwright.
Sure.
But then I got so super clever with myself that Ben Song, well, there's a song called Ben.
Ben. Yeah.
So maybe we should do the song Ben, which I looked up on Wikipedia, and it actually says Ben, parentheses, song.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yeah.
To disambiguate, of course.
Yeah.
So we were thinking,
I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
But then good. I saw that we were going to be with, you know, the EDM band. And I said, mm-hmm. that might be like a two-click thing for them. It could be. So then we started to talk about it. And I mean, some of the obvious stuff came up. I mean, like time travel. We were thinking mm-hmm. about that, right?
Sure.
And I was thinking like mesons, like neurons and mesons.
Yeah.
But I realized as I thought about it, because I've been listening to your show ever since you guys turned me onto it. I've been basically
binging Drunk Talk. He's like, how do I play this game here? Right.
Nice. I love it. Yeah.
Like, I'm basically like, you know, hosting by proxy, thinking how you guys would do it.
That's what we want. You know, we have encouraged people to like get on our social medias and email us and let us know like what path did they find? Was it shorter and things like that? No one does that because, you know, nobody cares. But if you want to do it, man, you do you, and you tell us how you did, because if you can beat us, I love it.
Yeah. Well, but then my whole concern was with that, I could link from pop music to any science fiction topic like time travel, like mesons. Oh. In my mind, I have a route that can get me there in like 3 steps.
Wow.
So I'm thinking that's too easy for you guys.
Okay.
So then we said, let's go random. Oh. Now, I don't know if you know this, Allison is really, really funny. And she's the reason our podcast is very funny. She had a whole bit, and it might be my favorite bit of our entire time recording together, where she did an impersonation of Donna, who was Sam's wife, erstwhile wife, that was left stranded in 1999 because, spoiler alert, Dr. Sam Beckett never returned home. But
stop bringing that up.
She did this great thing where it was Donna back at Project Quantum Leap in 1999 saying, Sam, you should have left home years ago. And she hits him on the head with a frying pan. And ever since then, Donna and her frying pan have been kind of a mainstay on our show. It's like a touchstone for us.
Yeah.
Donna's going to hit me with a frying pan. So insert clunk sound effect here.
I love it.
So I was thinking,
let me throw this out here. Okay,
like frying pan.
Frying pan's a pretty good one. This is their Christmas episode. We could kind of go a little. There was a Christmas episode of Quantum Leap that involved a retelling of A Christmas Carol.
It's true.
I wonder if maybe we could make it a little festive for them in that direction.
I like that too. Because my other brilliant one was Hockey Puck. Again, the most random thing I can think of, but there's a new hand link in the new series that we have dubbed the Hockey Puck hand link.
Sure.
Because it's just basically a flat black disc that sits in Addison's hand.
Yeah.
So, after Ben Song was basically torpedoed, I was thinking frying pan or Hockey Puck. So I am all in on going more Christmassy and doing something from A Little Miracle.
Yeah.
So basically we've thrown out a bunch of things.
You have.
And we're like, what do you think? What do you think? Or what about this? What do you think?
I mean, so here's the thing. We can't decide. We're not allowed. Podcast law dictates that we are not allowed to make the determination. So
unlike Sam Beckett, we are given the assignment without any
control the lead
decision. We are it is thrust upon us, and then we must deal with the consequences.
I mean, now that depends on your interpretation of Mirror Image, which seemed to indicate that he might actually.
So really, you guys were leading the drunkard's walks all along.
That's right, the whole time. Yeah,
there was a helpful bartender.
We ran into Jack Dalton from MacGyver, and he told us that was not the case.
I think because Chris and I threw out some stuff, Matt should be the deciding factor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and maybe something from A Little Miracle, Matt, if you have any inspiration. I can think of one obvious thing, but I'd like you to go.
Well, from A Little Miracle, the only thing that immediately came to mind was Rocket. Is that where you went as well?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was thinking Christmas Carol personally.
the main guest star from that episode, Charles Rocket.
Charles Rocket, yeah.
Oh, so. Does Charles Rocket have a Wikipedia page?
Oh, I was just thinking Rocket.
Oh, you were just saying Rocket in general. Oh, I thought you were saying to actually go to that actor.
Wow.
No, just literally Rocket.
I was thinking Charles Rocket.
Or Charles Rocket works as well.
Interesting. All right. Well, I mean, you know, we need a determination. We need a destination here. So I leave it in your capable hands.
I think it should be Rocket. That's my
Rocket.
I like Rocket. That's... You know why? Because not only does it tie into A Little Miracle with Charles Rocket, but it also sort of ties into the new series because Ben was on the space shuttle.
Yeah.
We had to take a rocket to the second episode.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So So this is completely random for us. We never would have considered Rocket.
Well, there you go.
Until now.
The Christmassy Rocket.
If this went on too long, we can record something real quick saying, yes, we came here with Rocket. And then you can cut all of the decision-making
out. We'll splice that right in. Yeah,
not at all. Yeah. This is a Christmas gift to our listeners. So if it's extended, I mean, who knows? We might get to Rocket in two links and then it'll be a normal length episode.
And we should have went with Frying Pan.
Right. Damn. And then we'll never know, will we? But that's great. So we will go to Rocket. So, and we are just to disambiguate for myself here, we are not talking about a raccoon from the Marvel movies, and we are not talking about an actor's last name. We are talking about the
more spaceship
general concept of a rocket that goes up into space or perhaps turns into a firework or something along those lines.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Well, this has been a blast. I cannot thank you all enough for coming on and being a part of this with us. It's been my Christmas present. So, I'm going to send back everything else because I don't need anything. This has been a delight. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the invite.
Thanks so much. And just really quickly, we're about to go on our little drunkard's walk here. Are you guys having a drink while you're joining us here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You drinking anything? Anybody having a drink? Drinking anything at all?
I'm just enjoying it. A nice English cup of tea.
Well, excellent. That's very on brand. Well done.
Excellent.
Well done. Yeah, Allison, how about you?
I got the Sprite limited edition winter spiced cranberry. So very festive.
Oh, that is very festive. I think who did the ads for that? Was it Shaq that did that? No, it was the guy that left Cleveland and then he came back and
LeBron James.
Oh my God. Why can't I think of his name?
I've seen none of these ads.
I was going to say commercial for that at some point. Cranberry Sprite. I could be wrong about that too. Chris, how about you? You got a drink at all?
I'm representing. I listen to you guys a lot and I know you guys like your bourbons and your whiskeys. And I was thinking about doing a rye because I love rye. I was maybe going to do a Whistle Pig, but I am a heavy, heavy gin guy. I love my gin.
Okay.
So I have my go-to. I have a classic gin martini made with Bombay Sapphire gin. Excellent. A teeny bit of vermouth and lemon twist. Just a classic and you can't go wrong. So,
and is it shaken and not stirred?
No.
Yeah, you don't want to bruise that vermouth, right?
You don't want to bruise that gin. No, it's stirred, brother. So yeah, if you're shaking a martini, you're not doing it right.
You're doing it wrong,
drinking
right?
Vodka, which means you're doing it wrong anyway.
Still doing it wrong. Very good. Yeah. Very good. So, Jethro, what about you?
All the way.
Gin martini.
Jethro?
I'm having a High Noon Sun Sips vodka and soda made with real grapefruit juice.
Whoa.
Is this
a canned cocktail?
It is a canned cocktail that my wife picked up and I am enjoying it.
Great. Boy, oh boy. We are
The third one's even better.
Is that right? Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense.
What about you?
I'm having a drink also. So I was considering, because it was the holiday season, having a flaming rum punch. But I thought, no. It's not nearly cold enough for that. So I went with mulled wine. And light on the cloves, heavy on the cinnamon. And you know what? The guy who was serving it to me got all up in my face about it. And so the guy I was with was like, just give him a double bourbon like I've had. So that's what I have is a double bourbon. It is a Evan Williams 1783 small batch, which I'd never had before. And it is, I mean, like I say about every bourbon I drink, it's quite tasty. So there you go. That's what I'm doing.
Well, cheers to you and cheers to the wonderful folks from the Quantum Leap podcast for joining us today. And thank you for the destination and the lively conversation. And I highly encourage all of our listeners to check out their podcasts. They are people who clearly love a great conversation about pop culture minutia. And if you like our podcast, you're going to love theirs. So check it out.
That's right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all. Happy holidays, everybody.
It's been a privilege.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Jethro. So we've got our destination.
We do indeed.
We talked about our drinks.
That was a delight. I know that went a little longer than our typical.
It did.
But they're lovely people and could not be nicer and more generous with their time. Like just to give our listeners a scale, like their podcast is actually a big deal. Like they've had like all of the stars of the new Quantum Leap on their podcast.
Yep.
So they're very kind to share their time with us. Yeah, because we don't know them at all. You found them. You reached out to them. And
that's right. I started listening to a different Quantum Leap podcast. I found theirs and I really liked it. And I reached out and I was like, hey, I love your show. How would you like to come on our podcast? And I didn't even expect a response, honestly, because I was like, they are too big. They are too big of a deal. They are so well known in the Quantum Leap community and even just in podcasts. I mean, they have like so many more listeners than we do. I love all of our listeners, but they're huge. And the fact they were willing to come on, it was a delight. And actually getting to speak with them also, I don't know about any of you out there, but when I listen to a podcast long enough, I start to feel like I know the people. And then I realize I don't know any of these. I don't know these people. They're not going to talk to me. And I got to talk to people that I listen to all the time. It was awesome.
Very cool.
And if you have been listening to us and thinking you want to talk to us, it's as easy as giving us a topic suggestion, folks. Go over to our link tree. That's linktr.ee/drunkardswalk and give us a topic suggestion and we will bring you on the show. You can talk to us and you can have a fanboy experience or fangirl experience or fan person experience the same way that I just did. If you like us as much as I like them, which I can't imagine would be the case, but if you want to, you can. So we would love it if you did.
There we go. All right. So Matt, we've talked about our drinks. We've got our destination. We've got one final order of business to do, and that is our guesses.
That's right. We have to come up with a guess. How many links
we think it's going to take.
I'm going to write down, I am reusing a piece of paper yet again. So I have scratched out everything except my number and I have circled it just to be clear of what it is here. Cause I don't like to waste paper here and I had space left on it. So that's what I'm doing.
That's a very interesting way of saying cheat. All right. So
Do you like that? At least I really found an interesting way of saying it. So we are going, folks, in case you have forgotten, we are going from Subwoofer, which is a Norwegian pop music duo, to Rocket. That is what we're trying to get to, is Rocket. That's it, Jethro. That's all you got to do.
Well,
it's going to be easy?
You know what? I'm going to let go and let God, as Oprah teaches us. So we'll find means, a way there. Okay.
All right.
I will say that the Subwoofer page is fairly modest and that most of the links that are heading out are for other musicians.
They are.
Specifically Norwegian musicians and or Eurovision folks. So yeah. Not a lot of names that, I mean, I don't even know like popular contemporary musicians. So like this page is throwing me a bit of a curveball.
Yeah, I hear you.
I will say that one of the first things that's listed up top is pseudonyms.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have any particular agenda or destination that I think we're likely to get to through pseudonyms. Mm-hmm. I just think like that's going to be an interesting page. And given the large number of folks that use pseudonyms, we might be able to get to something more spacey or technology through that route.
Interesting.
That might be a little bit more different than what we've done over the past couple of episodes since we've been in and around the music space quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because when I think of Rocket, the first thing that I think of is like, I'm looking at like it's a red, it's got a cone, it's got a body, and then it's got a fuse coming off the back that I'm going to light and it's going to make a firework. So to me, I was not even thinking, I mean, I know we talked about the space shuttle and we talked about space, but I was thinking more about those types of rockets. And so I was wondering if going through something like Valentine's Day, which is also linked on this page, would make sense to get into like a holiday July 4th Rockets Red Glare type of thing.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is a very specific and narrow, though.
Well, so, but I have a feeling it's going to link to other holidays, right? At the very least, it's going to, on the right-hand side, have something about a holiday, right?
I don't know. It could be one of those things that it's like, hey, all of those fun links are down in the external links bottom, which are... I'm just stating a point of fact, Matt.
Okay.
I'm not grousing about it. I'm just saying that a lot of that kind of connective tissue is often in the external links section, which, as we all know, is forbidden.
We all know under the new regime.
Yeah. But you like Valentine's Day.
Well, I did. Or I also saw, and I don't know how this would help, but there's the COVID-19 is linked on here.
And I saw that as well. It is just so pervasive
all around the world. I just wonder if there's a way to get to almost anything from COVID-19. But I don't know what we would go out to, unless, you know, and I agree with you, we kind of want to get away from music, but we're going to rock it. Yeah, we're going
to
rock.
I mean, if we can get to Herbie Hancock, then we're all set.
There you go. And then maybe we could. But again, you're right. We did just go through a lot of music last week. We went through some music to get to Weird Al. Maybe music is not the path.
I will say that like a rocket, COVID-19 is airborne and deadly. So that's certainly a possibility.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But
Wait a minute.
What?
What we forgot about is there anything on this page about, aren't they supposed to be from another planet? Isn't there an astronaut involved?
DJ Astronaut is backing. Unfortunately, yeah. DJ Astronaut is not linked.
Not linked at all.
That's a shame. Because Astronaut would really be great.
Yeah, I thought that was going to get us there right away, but that's not linked at all. You're absolutely right. Okay. All right. So Valentine's Day is my suggestion. You're saying pseudonyms. I don't know how to make the choice between that. Do you have a stronger argument for pseudonyms? Like, I have a reason to go through Valentine's Day. You don't seem to have a reason to go through pseudonyms other than it gets us into more general things.
So I think pseudonyms casts a broader net because there are a lot of people who use pseudonyms for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Valentine's Day specifically, like, first of all, like, there's no space travel in Valentine's Day. And it's going to be more narrow. And the best we could hope for would be to get to something like New Year's Eve or July 4th, which even then are going to maybe get us to fireworks. I feel like there's going to be scientists specifically mentioned on the pseudonyms page.
Interesting. Scientists. You're not hoping that Buzz Aldrin is on there, huh?
That's
not a pseudonym. That's a nickname, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
That's what I would guess. Although, who knows? Maybe Buzz Aldrin's right there. So but I find it very interesting. The topic of pseudonyms. Yeah. I used to collect a list of like actors who had changed their names and their original names.
Well, we talked earlier this season about that, didn't we? We talked about Albert Brooks, and we talked about
that's right.
Someone else, I feel, but I don't remember who it was. So, all right, yeah, let's do it. Let's go through pseudonym, because I agree with you. It's an interesting topic.
Fantastic. Look at this. A pseudonym or alias is a fictitious name that a person or group assumes for a particular purpose, which differs from their original or true name. Also known as their orthonym.
Excuse me.
Take that. A whole section on here with business, criminal activity, literature, medicine, science, military and paramilitary organizations. So many different groups and areas where people have pseudonyms.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of there's fictitious business names. That's a link out of here. Dummy corporations will get you out of here. And hey, you could also get out of here on Carolyn Keene, the pseudonym of the authors of the Nancy Drew mysteries. I think F.W. Dixon is also a pseudonym, the author of the Hardy Boys In fact, I thought they were the same person, but clearly that was an apocryphal piece of information that I had. So I am seeing some American history things. So potentially we could get into the Star Spangled Banner, which definitely talks of rockets.
It's so true. It does.
Dr. Seuss is on here, or Dr. Zeiss, as of course we've learned, is how his name is spoken.
Good old Theo Geisel.
Yeah, that's right. Joanne Rowling is on here.
There are a lot of musicians here.
Okay. Well, getting back into music doesn't seem like the way to go, right?
Basically. No, I was merely commenting on it. I wasn't suggesting. Oh, okay.
I see. I do see actors.
I see Michael J. Fox.
And what does it say about Michael J. Fox?
I believe we talked about this previously, where his middle initial was just thrown in there to avoid being confused with another actor named Michael Fox.
Well, no, his middle initial was actually A.
Yeah.
And they wanted to change it to J because they didn't want it to sound like the agent didn't want it to be that Michael's A. Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was,
although he is.
That's the story. Yeah. Well, I mean,
he absolutely
true,
is.
Truer words have not been spoken. I mean, we just talked about Back to the Future. So there you go. We're right back to Michael J. Fox. He is the common thread throughout our podcast. He has replaced Pliny the Elder. It's not Michael J. Fox. I do see a link to Copernicus here.
Yes.
So that is a possibility. I also see a link, interestingly, to Michael Collins. And I was like, oh my gosh, Michael Collins is an astronaut. No, talking about Michael Collins, the Irish revolutionary.
Nice.
Different Michael Collins, which I guess there would probably be a disambiguation. So
very, very possibly
that. Avatar is linked on here, which again, you could get a disambiguation to the movie, which is set on another planet. Right?
There's a lot of possibilities here.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of possibilities. eBay is on here. Sock puppets is linked on here. Sock puppets.
Why is sock puppets listed under the pseudonym page?
It says users of internet communities who have been banned only to return with new identities are called sock puppets. But it takes you to the page for like a sock. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. It takes you to a page for a sock puppet is defined as a person whose actions are controlled by another. What? I've never heard that definition before. That's craziness.
And well, if we're trying to get to space, the final frontier, I feel like
I'm with you now, man. I'm with you now.
I thought that might pull you in.
I'm in.
I really like Copernicus for what are hopefully obvious reasons.
Sure.
There are also some writers that there's Doctor Who is listed down here, which is a very science fictiony thing. So that's kind of like the same ballpark-ish, although maybe not exactly where we want to go.
Well, in that same line, it talks about Douglas Adams, who definitely wrote some science fiction, including some rockets. So, you know, well, some spaceships. I don't want to say necessarily they were rockets. So maybe that's... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Jethro.
What?
Jethro.
What?
Jethro. What? I know we don't want to go through music. I know we don't want to go through music. But Elton John is linked on this page.
Oh, Rocket Man.
He's the Rocket Man.
Oh, I feel like that's a clear choice.
I mean, I know we don't want to go, but we got to, right?
We have to. Reginald Dwight was his given name.
That's right. I think, I mean, come on. That's got to be the way to go, right?
I mean, we'd be fools. We would, quite frankly, we would break the contract with the listener if we didn't do that.
Well, the question is, do we think that Copernicus could get us there as quickly as Elton John? Because if we do, then we should go through Copernicus. Because we said we wanted to get away from music.
This is true. I think they're probably about even money. Like, and also, quite frankly, like everybody now knows the route from Elton John to Rocket. It's through Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no joy of discovery through that. Whereas with Copernicus... Mm-hmm. Like it's still a little ambiguous. We got a good sense that it's going to get us there, but we don't know exactly how it's going to happen. So for that reason, I'm all in for Copernicus.
I agree. And again, had we not gone through music so much in the past couple episodes, I would definitely be fighting for Elton John. But I think Copernicus is the way to go. We said we didn't want to go through music. Let's go through Nicholas Copernicus.
Yeah. Nicholas Copernicus was a Renaissance polymath, active as a mathematician, astronomer, and musician. Oh, no!
What? Oh, no!
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, he tricked us the whole way.
He did. He did. Copernicus put forth the heliocentric model of the universe, mm-hmm. or the solar system, I should say, mm-hmm. and published under a pseudonym because the Catholic Church was none too happy about his work.
Yeah, he did. They did not like the whole idea that I believe he is the one that said that this, you were saying the sun rather than the earth is at the center. And you say that? Did you actually say that? Or was I reading that as you were speaking?
I said heliocentric, which
you did.
As we all know.
Yes. It means the sun is the center of the universe, or not the universe, excuse me, the solar system, which actually gave it its name, solar system. Otherwise, it would be called a Terran system. Terrell system?
I guess.
I don't know what you call it. Earthal system? That's probably, they probably would have called it an Earthal system. So I'm starting to go through here and I'm seeing a lot of things about, a lot of links to things that were around in his time, a lot of links to locations. I am starting to worry. Well, I see astrology, which is not connected in any way to science.
Not at all. Not at all.
So will not help us. But I'm wondering if there is actually a link to, space science in any way other than like an astronomy link, which I would guess is probably at the top. And I just went past really quickly.
Yeah.
Do you see anything so far with, I see Mars and Saturn on here and the sun, obviously.
I mean, I would have thought that there was a spacecraft or a satellite or something named for him.
Well, I can tell you that one of the shuttlecraft on the Enterprise, the original Enterprise, was named the Copernicus.
I meant a real one, not
one
not
was
a,
named the Galileo. That was seven, and
again,
Copernicus
three,
maybe two, three. Also, there was a dog in Back to the Future named Copernicus.
There we go. Yeah. Well, we can get to Michael J. Fox or Michael A. Fox.
Take us right in. You would think that there would have been.
So there is a section for commemoration, okay. which talks about some of the things that were named for Copernicus.
Okay, cool.
A genus of palm trees native to South America
was named after
Copernicus in 1837. And some of the species, the leaves are coated with a thin layer of wax known as carnauba wax.
Carnauba wax. Isn't that what's like in like candy and things like that? Like jawbreakers have carnauba wax in them?
I know carnauba wax from like polishing cars.
It's the same. It's the same thing.
Okay,
my understanding.
And it's edible. That's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm seeing a number of different things here. I'm not seeing a spacecraft or anything along those lines named after Copernicus, which seems like a bit of an oopsie by the scientific community. Like it feels like give the guy some credit.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, and I can't name one off the top of my head, so I don't know for certain that there was one, but gosh, you sure would have thought so, wouldn't you?
I absolutely would have thought so.
I do have another possible out for us, though.
What do you have there? What do you have there?
I do see that physics is linked.
Mm-hmm.
And physics is famously used to launch a rocket. So, you know.
Yeah, you got me.
Use physics to launch a rocket. No, I guess my point is there's a lot of examples in physics and demonstrations and things like that about rockets and how they propelled and things along those lines. So my feeling is I understand that physics is a very, very big topic. I understand that it might not be the best thing to focus down to specifics, but given everything else that's on here, I mean, we could do Mars and you know, I'm sure there's talk about like traveling to Mars and there might be a link to a rocket on there.
You don't want to go with astronomy rather than physics?
I would go to physics before astronomy.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Sure. Yeah, because astronomy is all about studying stars from Earth.
You're so very wrong, though.
Oh, am I?
You are very wrong.
How do you figure?
That's a horribly bad take.
How do you figure? What does astronomy have to do with going actually into space?
Everything. Who do you think is launching the Hubble telescope and the Webb telescope?
Now you're absolutely
astronomers.
Right. The James Webb, how do you think and the Hubble. No, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree on that. I agree with that.
As opposed to physicians.
Physicists.
I'm doing a little wordplay.
I don't like your wordplay.
Listen, physics is going to take us to a much broader umbrella, whereas astronomy is specifically looking out into space. There's a lot of physics happening on Earth, and there's a lot of very tiny physics stuff. Like even the words quantum leap from our friend's podcast, from to tie back to the beginning of the episode, like the quantum realm, that's all physics. It's got nothing to do with rockets.
Yeah, he's mechanics. They're quantum physicists.
Mechanics,
these guys,
that has nothing to do with rockets. Electricity, no, magnetism.
Mechanics does have to do with rockets.
Okay, well, but most mechanics is non-rocket mechanics. It's you put a block on an angled plane and see what it falls.
Yeah, it's all about forces. That's the whole point.
Yes, but
that's what it's all based on. That's what getting those rockets up into space is all based on.
Yeah, go. Rockets going into where?
Space.
Yeah, and what's the study of space?
The study of space?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. Astrophysics, probably. Cosmetology, perhaps.
It's astronomy. Listen,
cosmology is what I was going for, but you didn't correct me. No, you don't like it.
I don't like physics. I think astronomy is way better. 100% better.
No way.
It's in fact, I'll go so far as to say it's 110% better.
You're out of your mind.
I can't believe how confidently wrong you are about this.
I am confidently wrong, but I'm gonna stick to my guns about this. I think physics is gonna get us to rocket more quickly than astronomy is gonna get us to rocket.
You could not be more wrong about it.
I haven't seen astronomy on the page. I've seen astrology a bunch of times. I haven't seen astronomy yet.
It's all over the place.
Is it? I haven't seen it linked anywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean,
I see lunar eclipse.
He was an astronomer. First of all,
under his picture,
it says scientific career and says fields astronomy.
Oh, okay. I'm not at the top of the page right now.
It's not linked there. Oh. But but it's there.
Okay, the word is there, and I just said I didn't see him linked, so that's what I was talking about. Do you see it linked anywhere? Do you see astronomy linked? Have you seen a link to astronomy?
It's linked here somewhere, for God's sakes. Uh-huh. I mean, he was an astronomer. It's got to be linked.
You're just sure that he was, or that it is. I'm sure that I agree that he was. You're just sure that it's linked. I haven't seen it yet.
It's absolutely. I've seen. So under education.
Yes.
In Poland, I've seen astronomy a couple of times. There is a link to the Krakow Astronomical Mathematical School. So. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely going to be on here somewhere where astronomy is linked.
I see also there are links to, like, Kepler is linked on here. As well as history of science is linked on here. The universe is linked on here. Like, these are all... history of science, I think, probably is going to talk about space travel and rockets. Probably. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think I still like physics quite a bit. But if you want to go towards something more space related, hey, you know what? You are often very right. I am often very wrong. So if we're going to play the odds, we go with Jethro, right? That's what the whole audience is yelling. Go with Joe. Do what Jethro wants. All right, Jethro. So tell me where astronomy is linked.
All right. So under education in Poland.
Yes.
The word astronomy appears... in numerous places, but I do see that it is linked in the second paragraph, about midway through.
I see it.
Copernicus was a pupil of Albert Brudzewski, who by then, from 1491, was a professor of Aristotelian philosophy, but taught astronomy privately outside the university.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to astronomy.
Here we go. Astronomy. Fantastic. From the ancient Greek, is a science that studies the laws of the stars.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. A lot of, there's cosmology objects. Linked, Earth's there's atmosphere, universe.
Cosmetology is also linked.
No,
amazing
it's not.
Things.
No, it's
yes,
not.
It is. No, get your hair done.
and get a reading as well. With
there we
astronomy.
Go.
I see observatories. That is very important for astronomy. Observatories, super important. Oh,
absolutely. Do you have particular observatories that are you're thinking of?
What was the one that just it all collapsed and broke up? It was like in was it in Puerto Rico? What's
the oh yeah,
the talking about the really
yeah
really
there was
big
like a
that
yeah a big fell apart. A big yeah. I think that was sort of planned obsolescence where they just mm-hmm. like stopped paying the money to
yeah they let
to
it go
it fix up and they just let it fall to pieces.
I see the Milky Way on here. I see Hubble's Law. I see the Big Bang is linked on here, so that could help us with our didn't we have the heat death of the universe that could have gotten us there?
We did.
I bet the Lagrangian point is linked on here somewhere.
Oh yeah,
which is an old. If we're talking about ghosts of Drunkard's Walk past, there you go. There's a couple of those. Yeah.
Physics is linked here. We can go to physics. That'd be a good link to go through.
You can get right the hell out of here, man. Shut up. Ultraviolet, interstellar dust, supernova, remnants. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about stuff that's out there. Not a lot of talk about traveling to it.
That seems like a poor poor choice by the Wikipedia editor.
Does it? Yeah, because that's not what astronomy is.
But how do they launch all their telescopes?
Get us into space. Physicists get us into space. Astronomers don't get us into space.
So there is a link to the NASA Infrared Telescope Facility.
That's not what so and.
But that gets us to NASA, and I don't know if you know this, but NASA, big with the rockets.
Is it NASA itself that's linked, or is it specifically that? That installation.
No, it is the it's a specific NASA installation.
No, not interested NASA then. Generally. Not interested.
You're not interested, are you?
I see quantum mechanics linked on here, which a little shout out for our Quantum Leap podcast.
There you go. Also, post. I feel like I'd be remiss because I'm nothing if not petty. that our use of the phrase quantum leap is often very, very wrong in common English parlance, where we typically say a quantum leap as a means of communicating this huge
thing
change,
yes.
When in fact it's the smallest possible change on a subatomic level.
It's true. You know what I want to point out, which I wanted to talk to them about and I totally forgot, is in the original quantum. Did you watch the original Quantum Leap?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so loved in the it. Original Quantum Leap, at the beginning they have what's called the saga cell, and that's the thing that where they're like, you know. Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep,
they say is Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. Well, here's the thing. In that show, they have something that's called the waiting room, where mm-hmm. whoever he leaps into, their kind of identity leaps into him in the waiting room. So he didn't vanish. Why do they keep saying he vanished? Anyway, that bugged me later in life. Like when I first watched it, I was just like, this is fun. And then I was like, wait, logical inconsistencies.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm bringing that up specifically for our guests who are now listening to this. So know that those are things that I notice. Matt, I can help you write the next book. There you go, buddy. Just give me a call. I'm sure you never thought about that. I'm sure it never occurred to you being
that's
a
right.
scholar of Quantum Leap. So I'll help you out, buddy. I'll give you some help there.
There we go.
I've been talking, scrolling through the page here.
Have you now?
I have yet to see anything that is even close to being a rocket. Now, I will say that NASA itself is linked on here. So that may be the way that we have to go. Because I don't see, I see planets, moons, dwarf planets, comets, asteroids, all kinds of stuff that astronomers look at because that's what astronomers do. But nothing wow. about traveling. Do you see anything about the James Webb or the Hubble or anything like that?
I'm not seeing it, which is very disappointing because I would have thought for sure it would be here.
planets, life in the universe. That's a link. Extraterrestrial life is a link. That might have gotten us to, our good friend from the first season. I've had too much to drink.
No such thing.
No, the what's the name of the alien West Virginia?
The Flatwoods Monster.
The Flatwoods Monster. Thank you. I was like the woods something wood. The Flatwoods Monster. That could have gotten us their extraterrestrial life right here.
There you go.
Right here.
All right. So you want to go to NASA? Is that what I'm seeing? Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, I don't. Well, actually, I don't.
Why is that?
What I want to go to is under the sea also, space exploration.
Aha.
That's what I want to go to.
You want to go to space exploration because you think that's going to have rockets and such there.
I do. I mean, I would have hoped that it would have been on this page, as I think it probably would have been on the physics page. But now I want to go to space exploration because I think...
I still, like, if it's not on this page, there's no way it's on the physics page.
Oh, I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look. I'm going to go look later. But here's...
We should definitely settle
space,
the hash.
Space there. Exploration? What do you think?
I'd rather just go to rockets.
You see that?
Yeah. Did I not mention that? Did I not mention that I found the link to rockets?
Get out of here. You did not.
Under X-ray astronomy, which is under observational astronomy, they have all X-ray observations must be performed by high altitude balloons, rockets, or X-ray astronomy satellites. And rockets is linked.
Wait, what? Where is it? I don't even know where this is. Oh, gamma ray, X-ray.
It's under observational astronomy, X-ray astronomy. There it is.
Oh, you've done it, you beautiful bastard. There it is. Oh, well done. Well done. Okay.
Now,
okay.
We're not going to read a lot about this because we might have to race here.
We may have to race, but I am interested still to see if it's on physics, but we'll find out later. But we did get there. We have found the rocket page in just a shade over an hour. So well done, Jethro, on that.
Hooray for us.
So it took us
lightning speed.
It took us four links, which is shorter than the half of what it took us last week. Subwoofer to pseudonym, pseudonym to Copernicus, Copernicus to astronomy, and astronomy to rocket. That is four links. Jethro, what did you wager?
I wagered five. Five links. What did you wager?
The only thing that could be that would be a four. Baby.
Well done. Well done, indeed.
I knew it. And I saw, by the way, that you wrote into our spreadsheet in the section where we put who won the episode, probably Jethro. Well, guess
That's
what,
right.
Jethro? I'm erasing that and I'm putting
I was throwing a little shade there. So
a little shade.
I will say, though, I am now on the physics page.
Yeah. What do you see?
And I have searched, because this is outside. We're just having funsies now.
Yeah.
I've controlled F for the word rocket.
Yeah.
It is not on here.
What?
The word rocket is not. So your victory is entirely due to.
How is that possible?
So you're welcome. You are
really
welcome.
Physics does not have rocket on it. Well, I am surprised. I will be honest. I am surprised. I really believed that it was going to be there. And even in the astrophysics section, there's nothing about rockets. No, you're right. I don't see it. I mean, I'm looking very cool. Well, you did a search, so obviously it's
I did a control.
There is a link to the Hubble telescope. Oh no, I'm sorry. Excuse me. There's a link to Hubble, Edwin Hubble. There's a lot of things in there that could get us to rocket potentially. But you're right. Had we gone to physics, you probably would have won.
I would rather, and this is perhaps unsurprising to anybody listening to this podcast, I would rather be right and lose.
Yeah.
Than be generous and win.
Not at all surprising, but I consider it a little gift to me. To say a little Merry Christmas, and my gift to you, Jethro, is that I followed along and I let you be right.
Oh, well,
and
thank
I know
you.
I know you love that. So really currently, as the season stands, I believe you are still in the lead with five, and I have four. We do have one tie.
We're neck and neck, though.
So we have four more episodes left. No, we're not neck and neck. You're in the lead. You've got.
But that's.
You've got five.
But just. And I've but got just four. By one. Just by one, though.
Just so. By one. Four episodes left in the season. Who knows what's coming next? You know, and that's. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see what is in store for us here. I can't wait to see what we talk about next week. Next week will be our kind of our, I guess, our New Year's Eve episode. So it'll be our last show of 2022, which honestly, Jethro, can't complain too much about 2022. Yeah. It's been all right to us.
Yeah, it's been a time, a season of change.
There have been worse years. Is what this I will say. True. So maybe we're on the upswing here, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
You gotta hope. Well, a happy holidays to all of you out there. A Merry Christmas to you, Jethro. And I hope everybody has a pleasant holiday. And we'll see you again next week. Right, buddy?
Cheerio.
Hey, everybody, Matt Hartman here again for Drunkard's Walk. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Jesse Ellie for our theme music and Nick Jaramillo for our artwork. For any of you who are interested, the only gift we want this year is you. To give us a rating or review on iTunes, or to join our Patreon, or maybe to purchase some Drunkard's Walk merchandise, you can find all those links and more on our link tree. That's linktr.ee/drunkardswalk. Check it out. Get what you like. And hey, if you decide not to, then just keep on listening, because we love that as well. Thanks so much, everybody. Happy holidays.